The psalmist said in Psalm 103, in the opening verses, the first four verses of that chapter, he lifted up his heart in praise unto the Lord and said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." And the psalmist here was giving praise to God for the benefits of salvation and the joy that he knew in knowing of the Lord. And we, as we come to this final message in the doctrine of assurance and a consideration of the blessed results of assurance of salvation, we can say that with justification, with adoption into the family and fold of God, and with sanctification, the work of God in the soul, there are heavenly and spiritual benefits. Likewise, we can say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." We've been justified, adopted, and sanctified, and we know every blessing in Christ Jesus. And though those three doctrines, which are foundational to the Christian life, though those three doctrines are distinct truths in and of themselves, we have to always see that they are also very closely connected, intimately related, and we would have to say that there cannot be one without the other. There is no adoption into the family and fold of God. We cannot say we are the sons of God unless our sins have been put away, unless we have been justified by faith. Likewise, there is no sanctification without justification. On the other hand, there's no justification without adoption and sanctification. If you have been adopted into the family and fold of God, if you have been sanctified and known the work of grace in you, then it's evidence that you have been justified. And these doctrines are intimately connected. And the benefits of knowing God, the benefits which accompany or flow from these great truths are a blessed comfort to the children of God. Our shorter catechism in question 36 enumerates the blessings and the benefits that accompany or flow from the doctrines of justification, adoption, and sanctification. These things come as a result of our union with Jesus Christ. And because of our union with Christ, we can know that assurance of God's love. We can have that confidence in Christ, confidence of His love, that God loves you personally, that He's interested in you. On top of that, there is peace of conscience, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is that freedom, a freedom from a sense of guilt, and the fear of condemnation is taken away. This is the result of pardon, peace of conscience through our Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, there is that joy in the Lord, joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost bears witness to that work of God, that work of grace in the soul, to the blessings bestowed. And there is that joy in response to God's love. When we consider the love of God for us, we delight in the Lord. And we delight in what He has accomplished for Him, for us. Indeed, we love Him because He first loved us. And then there is that increase of grace, that development in grace, spiritual development, which is evidence, again, of a saving change within the soul. And the Lord, having saved us, having pardoned us, having adopted us into His family and into His fold, now has given to us His Holy Spirit, and with His Holy Spirit, He has given to us the power to continue and to persevere unto the end. We can know the help of the Lord and of His Spirit. So these things are blessings, benefits that accompany salvation. That assurance of God's love, that peace of conscience, that joy in the Holy Ghost, an increase of grace and perseverance unto the end. And it really boils down to a knowledge of God, a knowledge of what God has accomplished for us in Christ. It's the knowledge of God's covenant love for us, that God is true to His eternal covenant, to His eternal purposes. He's true to the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who are in Christ will not be lost. Those who have been given to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Father will never be lost. And God loves us even as He loves His Son, Jesus Christ. He's loved us with that everlasting love. And these thoughts comfort the heart of the believer. The covenant of God is sure. God will not break His covenant. God will not break His word concerning His people. He says in Psalm 89:28, "My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him." In verse 34 of the same chapter, He said, "My covenant will I not break." And His covenant is sure. And though we fall, we read there in that chapter, though we do sin, nevertheless, we are not cast off forever. The Lord loves us with that everlasting love, and He will draw us to Himself. And such considerations fill the soul with wonder and with awe as we consider the condescending goodness of God towards us. God showing mercy to those who are undeserving of it. And we know that it is God that gives the increase. Any blessing, spiritual blessing that we know, any increase in Christian grace is due to the Lord alone and His work in us and in our soul. We were reading here in 2 Peter chapter 1 of that salvation and those who have obtained like precious faith. You notice the wording here. That grace that we enjoy and the blessings of salvation that we enjoy have been granted to us, given to us by the Lord. It's something that we have obtained through the righteousness of God, or because of the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He says in verse 2, "Grace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ." He says in verse 3, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called you to glory and virtue." He says, "Moreover, there are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." So, the blessings that we enjoy in Christ, that we have obtained, are through Him, are because of His grace, and they are given, obtained through grace given. And we can say that as the people of God, we have received of His fullness. Of His fullness have we received grace upon grace. And God has given to His people all things that are necessary to succeed in the Christian life. Everything to live godly. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Everything that we need to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, to overcome the enemy, to overcome sin, to overcome temptation, in order that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, grow up in Him, the Lord has made provision for us. We have obtained grace through Jesus
Christ our Lord. There's provision for our souls. Every blessing we enjoy comes to us from God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we come to this doctrine of assurance and biblical joy, peace, assurance, it's not rooted in us, but we find our peace, our joy, our assurance in the Lord. It's not in our attainments, it's not in our works, it's not in our achievements. Rather, it's rooted in our God and in that knowledge of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, in what He has done and what He is doing and what He will fulfill according to His Word. And as we consider the results of assurance then, and the blessings of assurance, assurance and comfort is a divine gift. That's what Peter tells us here. We have been granted grace. Grace has been given unto you through the knowledge of the Lord. However, at the same time, the people of God have a responsibility to maintain and to preserve what we have. We are to walk in the light as we have received light, so we are to walk in the light. We are to walk in fellowship with the Lord. We are to enjoy the Lord, and we are to give all diligence to our duty. In verse 5 he said, "And beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith." And he lists the things that we should endeavor to add. And the word there is give all diligence. It carries the idea of bringing alongside, in addition to faith, and the divine nature, the work of God in us, will always produce a change in the life of the sinner. The one who has received Christ will see his responsibility to the Lord. He will endeavor to live in a manner that is pleasing to God and will strive to do so. There ought to be that giving of all diligence to add to your faith. In verse 10 he says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." And in verse 19 we find that word sure. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed." So give all diligence. Give all diligence to add to your faith. Give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. And we have a more sure word of prophecy. And the idea there in that word sure is the idea of stability, something that is firm, something that is stable, something that is fast. Give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. There ought to be that serious endeavor and intention on your part. If you like, make it your main business, your chief study, to know the Lord and to add to grace and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And how are you to do this? By using the means that God has provided for you. By watching unto prayer. By that constant application of our souls to the Lord for the things that we have need of, for grace to live. He says here that we ought to be established in the truth. If you look at verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." Give all diligence to make your calling and election sure, to make it firm and stable and fast. And the idea in that word is, it's a picture of buying and selling. Somebody is buying an item from a seller, the seller will give him a guarantee, will make it sure, so that a third party cannot come in and claim it. It's sure, it's fast, it's firm. The deal is guaranteed. And oftentimes we get a guarantee with the things we purchase. And so the Lord has given to us a guarantee of salvation and life in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle John tells us that the things that are written in the Word of God that are given to us are given that are that we would be established in the truth, that from and through fellowship with God in the Word, we may know joy, we may walk in light, we may walk in love, and we would be established then in the Word of God, using the means of grace, that we would know that we are the children of God, being strengthened in faith, being built up, growing in grace. And as you do these things, you will never fall. Make your calling and election sure. So we come to consider then the results of assurance. And I want to simply set before you four things that a consideration of assurance will do for the believer. And the first thing that we can be sure of is our eternal inheritance. Assurance delivers us from suspense. It delivers us from uncertainty with regard to our eternal reward. He says there in verse 11 of our chapter, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." As we come to a saving knowledge of Christ, as we are accepted in the Beloved, as we seek to grow in grace, to be strengthened in faith, so the Lord sets us free from suspenseful uncertainty. We've been bought with a price. We are not our own. And we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance, the guarantee of our inheritance. And because of that, we are assured of glory. There's no uncertainty with regard to our future reward or future joy. And assurance of salvation enables us to say then with the psalmist that this God is my God and He will be my guide even unto death. And through death, we have confidence in Christ because Jesus Christ told His disciples that He went before to prepare a place for them, that where I am, there ye may be also. And there is that place prepared and reserved by Christ Himself for His people. Our inheritance is sure in Christ. And so we're delivered from this suspense and this uncertainty whether we will enter into glory. Peter in his first epistle says there in verse 5 that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That inheritance is sure. Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for the redeemed, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, sanctified through the Spirit, washed in the precious blood of sprinkling. They've known grace and peace, therefore they have an inheritance. And that inheritance is sure. There's no suspense here. It's not saved today and lost tomorrow. You need not doubt your salvation in that way, because what the Lord has said He will do according to His covenant, what He fulfilled at Calvary, He did for His people. And we can make our calling and election sure. It's firm and it's fast in Christ. There's no question about it. It's guaranteed. This is the inheritance of God's people. God has ordained it. Christ has purchased it. The Holy Spirit bears witness to us. And just as a buyer is given a guarantee from the seller, so the believer can expect an entrance into the glorious kingdom of God because of what Christ has accomplished for us. So assurance delivers us from suspense and from uncertainty with regard to our future reward and glory. But presently, now, as we seek to live for the Lord here on earth, that assurance of salvation gives us boldness
boldness before the throne of God, or if you like, confidence. Confidence in prayer. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 19. Again, speaking of our salvation, those who have known the remission of sins through the shed blood of Christ. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sins. The Lord has said, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. There's that confidence in the Lord now, confidence in Christ, our great high priest. And it's the same word that is used in Hebrews 4, that boldness, confidence, because Christ is our high priest, has entered into glory, and He ever lives to make intercession for us. Therefore, we can come with boldness to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And assurance of salvation, that comfort, that knowledge that you are a child of God, assists us in our communion with God. We have confidence in prayer. There will be that entrance into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We can come before God. We can appear in His presence. We can call upon His name. We have access to His throne room because of the assistance of Jesus Christ, our great high priest who is over the house of God. And so, as we do that, when we have confidence in prayer and draw near to God, then there will be an increase in the enjoyment of fellowship. And that familiarity with God, in a right sense, gives us boldness to knock and to ask and to seek those things we have need of, knowing that we will find acceptance, that we are accepted in Christ, and that we have an audience before the Lord because of Christ. There's no suspense with regard to our future joy, but presently there's confidence in the Lord, confidence in prayer, confidence in our great high priest. Then thirdly, knowledge of salvation and grace will also produce patience in tribulation. We were considering this morning. If you're still at Hebrews 10, look at verse 34. Speaking of those believers who suffered affliction, were made a gazing stock by reproaches and by afflictions. Verse 34 of Hebrews 10, for ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Assurance produces patience in tribulation. They took joyfully the spoiling of their goods, knowing that in themselves they have a better and an enduring substance. There's a greater reward for them. And assurance of salvation made these believers patient and joyful even under the burdens of life, even under severe persecution. Again, this guarantee of future glory, of better things to come, that is what took the sting out of earthly trials. They were looking to that city whose builder and maker is God. And so, likewise for the people of God, we have that assurance that in the time of trial, the Lord will be with us. And that assurance of the Lord's presence, of His help, makes those heavy afflictions lighter. It makes those long afflictions shorter. It makes those bitter afflictions sweeter. That knowledge of the Lord as our great high priest, as our helper. And yet when we lack that assurance, when we're not enjoying that fellowship, even the shadows of a burden frighten us, as Thomas Brooks says. The weight of the least burden makes us sink. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, if you look there at 2 Corinthians 4 and the verse number 17, he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And that's what the Hebrew believers were doing. They took joyfully the spoiling of their goods, the temporal things. They gladly gave up because they looked for a better and an enduring substance. They had a hope laid up for them in heaven. And we know that life is full of changes. And yet the comfort of God sweetens those changes and those trials that come our way. Those trials lead us to a fresh experience and knowledge of the all-sufficient grace of God. An experience we would not know if we did not have that affliction or that trial. Romans 5, tribulation worketh patience. Patience works experience, and experience hope. Patience works experience. So, that assurance of salvation, that God is our Father, that Christ is our Savior, that the Spirit of God dwells in us. We're not alone. We are not destitute. The Lord said to His disciples, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans without a father in the world to struggle on your own and to go through life on your own. I will not leave you comfortless. I will help you. I will be with you. And you will know and have the help and the power of the Spirit." And then, fourthly, we see that the knowledge of Christ and assurance of salvation results in joy, a joy in God. How sweet the things of Christ become to the soul when we're saved by grace. We read in Romans chapter 14 that the kingdom of God, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. It's not in temporal things. It's not in food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. When the heart is set upon Christ, there is that joy. When the heart is set upon everything Christ has set His name, so you will set your heart. There will be that joy in the Lord. And that is the soul source of our delight as the people of God. We recognize that every temporal joy and every temporal blessing is a gift from God Himself. Every material thing that we enjoy is a gift of God, comes because of His grace. But even should those things be gone, even if meat and drink be gone, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Even if those material things should be gone tomorrow, we will still trust in the Lord God of our salvation. And in this way, we are kept from desiring vain pleasures. We are kept from desiring and seeking after worldly possessions for our joy. Our joy is not in the abundance of things possessed. Our joy is in God and in Christ our Savior. Remember what we read in Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter of faith and the heroes of faith, the heroines of faith. It says concerning Moses in chapter 11, verse 25, that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. His joy was in the Lord, not in worldly possessions and all the riches of Egypt. It was in the Lord. Even if those material things were taken away, we still have the Lord. That's our comfort. That's our joy. That is our delight. I referred this morning to Habakkuk chapter 3 and to verse 17 and 18. And it's speaking here of the believer's joy, the Christian contentment, though everything around fail, we still have the Lord God, our Savior. And he says there, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And so verse 17, it's enumerating there the things that are lacking. Those material blessings are taken away. And he says, though the very things that support and sustain life be gone, they're taken away, yet will I rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. That is, I will joy in what the Lord is in Himself. He is a God who is God blessed forever. And whatever may come, God will enjoy a perfect blessedness. And if God is happy, then I am happy in God. I will not be miserable. He knows my estate. And there's that blessedness of being in Christ. Being in Him, we are happy. Our faith looks up to the Lord. He is our portion. And while He is happy, we are happy. Happy in His will. Content with His way. He's the Lord God of our salvation. And whatever my lot, the hymn writer said, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. My salvation and my expectation is from the Lord. Whatever happens in this life, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Though material things are taken away, temporal things are taken away, I still have the Lord, yet will I rejoice in the God of my salvation. There's that fellowship and that union. And that fellowship in light and in the love of God leads to joyful assurance. To a seeing, a knowing, a sensing the favor of God that you are saved by grace. And this makes our condition happy, safe, and secure. And that is the drift and the design of the Word of God. Thomas Brooks said that the very drift and design of the whole Scripture is to bring souls first to an acquaintance with Christ, then to an acceptance of Christ, and then to build them up in a sweet assurance of their actual interest in Christ. And so the exhortation of God's Word, those exhortations to seek assurance, to make your calling and election sure, to examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates, or unapproved. Examine yourself. Take the commands of God seriously. And just as we must give diligence to grow in grace, so we must give due diligence to make our calling and election sure. That we would know this assurance of heart, active in the means that God has provided and using those means, exercising ourselves rather unto godliness, that thy profiting may appear to all, and chiefly to your own soul, for your own soul's comfort, that there would be that evidence of God's work of grace in your soul, and seeing what the Lord has accomplished for you, then there will be that joy. No suspense with regard to your future inheritance. It's sure, it's certain. Confidence in the Lord, confidence in the place of prayer, patience in tribulation, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Satisfaction in all that God is and all that He has done for us as His people. And so may the Lord then grant us that assurance and make us able, by the help of His Spirit, to discern His work and to rejoice in all that He has accomplished for us, and those benefits that flow to us because of justification, adoption, and sanctification.